Last week, we spent some time together talking about Dunmurry Manor Care Home of the Rumwood Homes Group UK. And there has been a lot of discussion with this programme, and people have been contacting us distressed about what they have heard happened inside it. We've spent all weekend working on this story because this is more than just a story. I don't want what happened in that care home to be something that filled airtime for us for a day last week and then disappears, that we all move on. Because there are fundamental questions for us in Northern Ireland around Dunmurry Manor Care Home. You're going to hear this morning from a whistleblower. She was a nurse. She was so devastated by what she saw that she left Dunmurry Manor Care Home. She left. She got out. But the elderly people inside it couldn't leave. They couldn't get out. And some of them endured distressing pain to the extent where their bodies were shaking with pain. And you might find some of this testimony uncomfortable this morning. Do you know what? You should. And just before you listen to this today, I want you to clock this in your head. No fines have been issued against Runwood Homes. Millions of pounds of Northern Irish taxpayers' money continues to be given to Runwood Homes. Not one person has lost their job. The Public Prosecution Service has decided there should be no prosecutions. And clock this too in your head. There are many, many, the vast majority of care homes in Northern Ireland are safe, good places to be. But what the system in Northern Ireland did, they assessed this home, Dunmurry Manor Care Home. And yes, they identified things that needed to be improved, but they left it open. And in leaving it open, old people who couldn't speak for themselves continued to suffer. A whistleblower at the heart of this story has spoken to The Nolan Show. This nurse will give her testimony, and sit back and think that this could happen to your mum, your dad, your granny or your grandfather, or you when you get old.
Well, I was a staff nurse, permanent staff nurse, so I was employed directly by Runwood Homes. My job was, I was taking charge of a shift. I had 20 residents per shift to look after, 12-hour shifts, leading the team of care assistants as well.
And what time period are we talking about here?
We're only talking a matter of weeks, because I was so distressed and worried about everything that I left as soon as I could. But it didn't take me long to identify, you know, all the problems within the home.
Sorry, what year did you say? 2015?
2016.
2016.
Yeah.
And describe what it was like for those residents in that home.
Oh, it was horrific. I mean, there weren't enough staff, you know, for the residents to get proper care. I mean, really, it was get them up, get them washed, get them dressed, and then set them in a chair. Or for the ones who are bedbound, just get them washed. You know, leave them really the rest of the day. It was just, there was no, I mean, I didn't even get a chance to sit with a resident during the course of a shift. You know, I didn't get a chance to, it was that bad that I just felt that I wasn't given any sort of standard of care at all. So it was horrible. It wasn't nice.
You said it was horrendous for the residents. Like what? Because I've read the older person's report, the commissioner for older people, and he was talking about bed sores down to the bone, and they found feces on curtains.
Yep.
Could you tell me what you saw?
Well, Well, I was the one that found the lady who's referred to in the report with the bed sores down to the bone.
Can you describe what that looked like?
Oh, it's hard to describe. It's there's no fatty tissue or anything. It's just a big hole, but it goes right. But you can actually see the bone. I mean, and it was on her backside, so you can imagine there's a bit of fatty tissue there. So for it to actually go down to the bone, I mean, she must have been lying there for quite a while for that to happen.
And how much distress was that woman in because of that pain?
She was in agony, but she couldn't tell us. You know, she couldn't speak, so she couldn't say how much pain she was in. So, I mean, we didn't use, in that home, we didn't use, there's a pain scale, which helps a nurse identify how much pain a person's in if they're unable to speak. We didn't have access to that within that home. None of the files had that in us. None of their notes. So we weren't able to then identify the level of pain. So I think a lot of the nurses were going just on instinct, really.
Did you see that woman in distress?
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me what you saw. What I'm trying to do here, that woman didn't have a voice then.
No.
I want her to have a voice through you now.
Mm-hmm.
How much distress did you see her in?
Any sort of movement, and she was, you know, she was crying out, sort of, you know. It's hard to describe, Steve, it really is.
Try to for me. Crying out in what way?
You could tell it was pain, you know, whenever I went in to do her dressings, and the person who was with me had her on her side. So when I opened the door, the first thing that I saw was the bed sore or the pressure sore, and that's when I went. I just froze and went, "That's a grade four." It was actually unreadable, but for the first time I saw it, I thought it was a grade four. And the person who was with me was like, "Well, come on, get on with us." But can you imagine having you've been through surgery and you have a wound and the pain that that can cause? Well, it's no different, you know, when you can see right down. I mean, even if you've had surgery, you're not going to have a wound that deep. So
why wasn't she looked after? Why did Runwood Homes do this to that woman? Why?
I can give you a snapshot of my day. Go in, get the handover, start the medications. A medication round should really only take an hour or two. A medication round in Runwood Homes took about 4 hours because I had 20 residents. I had medications that they were on, but were not available because the nurses didn't have a chance to. In the course of a day, you spent that much time doing medications and paperwork, then chasing up GPs, and the way that Runwood Homes, I've done other nursing homes, I've worked on a number of nursing homes, and I spent a good bit of my day on the phone. When I was on the phone, I wasn't with the residents.
The Commissioner for Older People has said that some of the medication that the older people needed, it just simply wasn't there. They ran they ran out of it.
Yep.
Like, I'm trying very hard here not to get angry. It's not my job to get angry. But what human being could not get angry at this? How did they run out of medication? And this wasn't running out of it for a few hours. And it wasn't running out of it for a day. It was running out of it, according to the Commissioner for Older People's report, for weeks.
Yes, very true.
So older people did not get their medicine for weeks.
Yep. And that's
did you see that?
Of course I did, yeah.
What did you see? Give me an example.
I would have spent hours. Whenever you do your medication, then obviously the medications, all the medications are always listed. So you tick off or you sign for it whenever you give it. So whenever you do a medication round, then you can identify if any medications is missing. Really, there should never be medications missing. That shouldn't happen. But whenever there's that many GPs involved, that many doctor surgeries, then we didn't have access to, say, my GP, my own GP, I can go on and reorder medication online. So it takes me 3 minutes to do that. But we didn't have access to computers, so therefore we couldn't order medication online. So it was all done over the phone. Then we didn't have anybody who could go and pick up the medication.
How was this home allowed to stay open?
That surprised me too. RTIA, whenever they go in and they identify certain shortcomings, they would put in things that they need to improve on. So they give a home a lot of space to improve on things. But RQIA, when you look through all the previous reports, they did identify these issues. And then they give them like an action plan to improve on. But what RQIA saw was only the tip of the iceberg. So I don't understand why we think that RQIA is fit for purpose, because they're only seeing, they would go in for maybe a day or two and watch what's going on. Check documents.
Well, one of the family members of one of the victims of Rumwood Homes Limited says RQIA should be shut down.
The thing is, Stephen, they're reactive as if it's not our fault, we haven't done anything wrong. But if they look at their own reports, surely they can see that that those problems were obvious even to them. It wasn't as if this was happening in secret and nobody knew about it. RQIA knew about it.
I was looking through all the documentation around this case at the weekend. There were numerous examples of older people having fallen onto the ground.
Yes, very common.
And that probably is very common in nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
But what isn't common is that nothing was written down in many of these instances of what happened.
Yeah.
And also there were significant delays in ringing ambulances.
Yes, I know.
Did you witness that?
No, not directly. When I look at those sorts of things that have happened, and I look at the staff that were on duty, we all agency pretty much. There was an extremely high use of agency nurses and agency care assistants. So they go in there, they don't know the residents. Maybe their first day. To expect them to deliver the standard of care that you would expect from a permanent staff member, it's going to be difficult for them, you know, if they're only there for one shift. So,
the report from Eddie Lynch also talked about a resident going in and seeing feces on the curtains in this home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that surprise you?
No.
Why not?
I could see so many signs really early on. I mean, you're talking days.
What did you see?
I would go into the clinical room, which is where the medications are kept, and in all of the nursing homes, you would have a supply of, say, like dressings and things and clinical equipment. So when I went in, I couldn't find a blood pressure cuff. There was no dressings in stock because you would have to pay for them. Whenever you get a dressing for a resident, you obviously get them through a GP, so that's on prescription, so that's free. But Rumwood Homes didn't invest in basic equipment for the staff. I mean, I ended up bringing in my own blood pressure cuff. I brought in my own pen torch, you know, the light for checking somebody's eyes. Brought that in, provided that myself. It was quite upsetting because Ronwood Homes, they are the best paid nursing home group for nurses in Northern Ireland.
They get millions of pounds of public money.
Yeah, and they pay their nurses really well.
There have been no fines on Ronwood Homes for what they did to these old people.
Nothing. No.
There is no police investigation.
Oh, I did give a statement to the police. I gave a statement to the police in December 2016 for what I'd seen in November.
What was that statement? What was that statement about? What type of incident?
Yeah, it was about I felt that there was serious neglect and abuse going on in the home. So I approached the police after I had given RQIA notifications to the manager in Unwood Homes and had spoken to the Trust, South Eastern Trust and Belfast Trust about my concerns. Then I left the home because sometimes I feel guilty that I left because I just left those people. Do you know what I mean? I left them to their fate, really. And sometimes I feel guilty about that.
Did the police ever follow it up and tell you what had happened with their investigation?
No, I only found out that the police took no action when Eddie Lynch's report came out.
So hold on a moment. You made this report to the police when?
In December 2016.
And you're reporting to the police a concern about neglect of old, vulnerable people.
Yep.
And they don't even follow it up and come back to you?
No. That's a bit annoying, isn't it?
Did they take a statement from you?
Yes.
Can you describe, and obviously I'm not looking for any names, but can you describe the type of neglect you told the police happened in there that... For which there was no follow-up?
No, the resident is very much in the news, Helen Bell. I give quite a detailed statement regarding that.
What had happened to Helen? That was the bed sores.
Yeah, that was the bed sores. Yeah, that was the worst one for me personally. I knew there were other things going on, but that was the one that was obviously that I saw that I was there for, and that was that. I did the care management review where you have somebody from the trust and then you have the nearest relative. And then somebody from the home, and you go in and you discuss the person's care. So when I went for her care management review, that was the final straw for me because I was sitting with that lady, and what could I say? And I could tell how upset that she was, and rightfully so. When I was looking,
Helen Bell, I'm reading. Helen was a 72-year-old lady.
Yeah.
Who had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So she was in that home, and Runwood Homes Limited should have protected her.
Yep.
One of her relatives walked into that home, and Helen was soaked in urine.
Yep.
She wasn't...
Do you know why? I had, obviously there was a team of care assistants in addition to a second nurse on duty. There was 40 residents in that home. We maybe had 5 care staff, who incidentally are on minimum wage. So to get round all those people. Say they go in there and they've changed somebody to go to the next one. Somebody can be lying in urine for 2 hours before the care staff would get back round again. There wasn't enough staff.
The hole that was in her body, the hole that they left in her body, a pressure sore.
Looked like something that should have been in a car accident, Stephen. That's how I would compare it to.
When that lady's sores were swabbed, tests confirmed that there was an E. coli infection.
Yep.
There was actually an E. coli outbreak in the nursing wing of Dunmurry Manor, according to Eddie Lynch's report.
Yeah.
Morphine was only given to that lady after the dressing was changed.
I was the one who actually got her prescribed morphine. And then I had a discussion with another nurse, and obviously can't identify this nurse, who felt she didn't need it. My answer was, she needs morphine every 4 hours, give her morphine every 4 hours. So, and again, because they're not using a recognised assessment tool to identify the level of pain that lady was in. You know,
Eddie Lynch's report describes this lady as shaking with pain.
Oh, yes, David, this one really upsets me now.
What did you say?
The lady wasn't even responding to my voice or nothing. She was just locked in her own pain. I can't describe it, Stephen. It's really something you have to see.
I want you to tell me what's in your mind. I want everybody to know what happened in Runwood Home in Dunmurry Manor. This company's still running homes in Northern Ireland, and yeah, they might be all right. And yeah, they might have got their act together, but they didn't in Dunmurry Manor. And this is what a company who we continue to give millions of taxpayers' money to, millions of pounds from Northern Ireland. You talk about this lady being in pain. Describe to me how they left her. What they did to that woman. What did you see? It's in this report that she was shaking. What did you see?
Yeah, so trembling, yeah. Because I obviously was redressing the wound because she could bite right down to the bone. I had to hold her, you know, hold her in place to stop her from moving so that I could get to the wound. The pain, she can't tell me. Do you know what I mean, Stephen? She can't verbalise it. She can't. This is just too hard for me, Stephen. I'm sorry.
I want you to stay there for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That lady couldn't speak.
No.
Just stay there. And I want us all this morning as we're listening to this programme. We're all just going to think collectively, all right? Just think about what you've heard over the last 20-odd minutes. And while you're thinking, I'm telling you now, no one has lost their job. The police investigation didn't result in anybody being prosecuted. Runwood Homes continue to take millions of pounds of your money. The home was not closed down. So let's just all think about this for a few seconds. And this, you know, the silence that you're going to hear over the next few seconds. I guess that's the silence that this lady, who was left trembling with a hole in her body, I guess that's when what she felt when the door was closed and she was in excruciating pain. Now multiply that a thousandfold of how that elderly lady must have felt so lonely. There's another resident who Runwood Homes, you know, there are many residents who Runwood Homes let down in our community. Residents, as we've heard this morning, who needed medicine. They couldn't get it because it wasn't there and it didn't come. Can you give me your, you can see what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying for these residents not to be just numbers or not to be just words in a report. Can you give me any other example of an individual and what you saw?
Well, there was a gentleman whose outward signs of his dementia would be considered challenging, if you can understand what that means. And I actually felt that it was quite, it wasn't suitable for him to be in a unit, you know, with so many people, because he needed that more, much more attention. It's all upsets me too, because I think he would have been better in a smaller unit, where he could receive, you know, more activities or whatever, you know, to keep him occupied.
I'm reading from Eddie Lynch's report here. There was a resident who was 83 years of age, mm-hmm. suffered a severe fall while living in supported accommodation and was admitted to Dunmurry Manor.
Yeah.
When he went into Dunmurry Manor, he was 15 stone.
Yes.
According to his family, he weighed between 5 and 6 stone mm-hmm. when he died 5 months later.
And I don't really know who exactly that person is.
The family complained about their loved one's rapid weight loss. They expressed concern that it was due to their relative not being assisted to eat. The family said that food in Runwood Homes was frequently left on trays beside this gentleman, uneaten. Food was frequently cold even before it was given to this man.
And again, I think that's because of the sheer numbers of residents compared to the lack of staff. I mean, really, there should have been maybe 4 more care staff and 1 more nurse, I think, to give even basic levels of care.
The family said that this 83-year-old man who we put into the care of Runwood Home, that he was given food that he couldn't eat or he didn't like, but that resident preferences were not taken into account.
I don't think I even saw the resident preferences in some of the people's care plans. I don't think they were there.
The family say that none of the staff appeared to know what medication this man should have been taking.
Oh, that's not good. all the medications listed on the person's Cardex. So there should never be a question mark over what medication he needs. But it should be listed there. The thing is, if you're looking after 40 residents in one unit, it would be difficult to know what medications each person's on without checking their Cardex.
This man had an eye condition and required...
Oh, wasn't given his eye job. Yes, I remember reading that.
Required eye cream to be applied for an infection. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, his relative noticed that the cream hadn't even been opened.
Yeah. I don't understand how that happened.
And yet the authorities left this home open. They didn't close it.
Because we were given that many chances, Stephen. The RQA went in and gave them recommendations to improve.
And what the standard is that they're given... The standard is that they're given 90 days to make the improvements.
I think some of them they didn't even manage that. So it was
9 months later.
Yeah.
And then it started to happen again.
How many managers were there in the 4 years? What? Up in 2014? So in the 3 years, how many different managers? It was like 10 different managers. Well then, it's no surprise then that standards dropped. Because there was no leadership.
The RQIA stopped new admissions, but they didn't close this place. And I guess there would be some that would argue, well, look, if they close it, you know, where do these older people go? If they close it, we know that if older people are moved, that we know from past programming that I've done that can, in some instances, affect the mortality rate of older people.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'll tell you what, someone being left in a place with no medication, someone being left with a bed sore down to the bone. You know, there's other stuff in this report, by the way. These elderly people with dementia were found on the streets.
Oh, yes, they managed to get out, yeah.
They were found on the streets.
Which is putting somebody in serious danger because they don't know, you know, the confusion levels. Nobody should be able to get out, you know, without somebody with them. I don't understand how that happened either. But thankfully I didn't witness any of those things. Then
here's another man, an 89-year-old man, placed into Dunmurry Manor. He was found with vomit on his clothing. He had fallen, and the staff gave different stories as to what had happened. The family were concerned about soiled bedclothes, poor continence care, which you as a nurse inside the home can confirm there were problems.
Mm-hmm.
The family left a urine sample on the toilet cistern to see how long it would take to be cleaned.
That was days, wasn't it? Yeah.
They came back 3 days later and it was still there.
Yeah, that's shocking. And again, I mean, Stephen, you got to understand that people who work there, you know, wanted to give good care. We were prevented from doing that.
I am saying again, out loud, who is going to be punished for how these old people were treated? Can the police not do anything more? Nothing? There should be no investigation into negligence? And imagine if this was your mum or dad, or granny or grandfather, and it was a news story on Friday, and sure, it's over now, and will continue to send about 4 million quid to Romwood Homes. Do you think that home should have been closed down?
Yeah, and if there had been somewhere for the residents to go, and that's the problem, where would they? But it's not as if those the concerns appeared, you know, suddenly. There were problems identified, what, 3 or 4 months after the home opened?
Yeah, they were identified.
Yeah.
And then it took many, many months for them to get round to trying to fix it. Then they didn't fix some of them. Then it happened again. And, you know, if there was a dog in kennels when you came back from your holiday and it had sores all over it, or the dog was congealed in vomit, or the dog hadn't been washed, you'd be very upset. Listen, thank you very much indeed.
No problem. And I hope something's done, and something's done soon, Stephen.
Ah, well, sure. Know. Maybe nothing will be done.
I hope
you know what? Yeah. Maybe nothing will be done. Maybe nobody will lose their job. Maybe the police don't think there's any more investigation needed. And maybe those older people who died in pain and distress, maybe, sure. Maybe that's just how it is. And maybe there's a next home in this situation, where there are vulnerable people who can't fight for themselves. Maybe we'll just leave the home open again in the future. Maybe we'll just do this again and again. Maybe this is what we've got to go through in Northern Ireland when we're in the last days of our life. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think this is one of these programmes today where it is beyond important for us to hear from you. I know many of you will have been listening very attentively to that.